A new documentary explores the extraordinary forgotten history of a team of Indigenous circus performers that took the world by storm. The documentary, The Kalino Heart, sees Yeagle filmmaker Pauline Clegg trace connections from her family tree to unearth a remarkable story of Indigenous achievement. I asked the filmmaker where she was able to find so much of the history about this remarkable story.
I mean, the greatest thing about them is that they're extremely well known, not in Australia, but everywhere else. And I started collecting newspaper articles when I was about 12. I didn't think I was going to be a filmmaker when I first started imagining this story and finding out about the family. And then about 15 years ago, I tried to get it up again. There was a book that was out, the historical account that was written in the book. For me, felt like at times didn't give agency to the mother. And I'd been told all about this mother that was strong-willed and wanted to make a better place for her kids. And so I think that was the impetus for me to start the story. And I knew that there was film. I knew that Con had a camera. And so I knew that there was footage around.
Tell us a little bit about the history of this circus trip from the documentary. I believe they started out very much in the rough and ready world of tent boxing with Con Sullivan.
Yes, Con Senior met Julia while he was on the tent boxing circuit. He at times also did a sideshow hustle, and sometimes the fights meant you got injured, and so he would have the sideshow for when he was injured. He met Julia on one of those bouts when he was doing the sideshow. They got married very early and she went on the sideshow with him. Mm-hmm. They started having children. They started getting more girls than they did boys. Mm-hmm. And so there was a little bit of, what do we do? because boys were the only ones that were boxers back at the turn of the century. And then at the same time, there were huge policy changes happening for Aboriginal Australia. The mother was a Gamilaroi woman from a Narrabri region. Marrying an Irishman meant that her kids were highlighted as possibly a part of assimilation policies, and so to keep her children hidden, they created this circus. And
So this is done at the time of like Federation, where Australian government is really focused on forcing Aboriginals into reserve, often separating family members.
And also the stolen generation.
Yeah, definitely much so, yeah.
By 1908, they were fully taking kids away, and around that time, there were about seven of the kids. So Julia was adamant she was never going to have her kids taken away, and they never were.
The performance, the travelling trip, was also a very good way of evading the scrutiny of the authorities that were...
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and hiding in a way in plain sight. And because they're exotic acts, their skin colour allowed them to be Royal Hawaiians at times or Arab or whatever. It allowed them to create that exoticness without putting a highlight on who they actually were.
Yeah, that's what's really interesting about the film is how the Kalino family were able to shapeshift. I think that's the term that you use in the film.
Yeah.
And pass off as different races to evade the discriminatory authorities. And also, it's also a good way of appealing to the public. Like, you show how it was a great way to make an act, you know.
Absolutely. They were a circus group originally of 10 to 15 of them. And they look like they're a biggish team because six of them would jump on as the Royal Hawaiians and then four of them would be the Arab tumblers. They look like a bigger circus.
So you have multiple roles.
Multiple roles.
They passed off as West Indian, Spanish, Arabic, Hawaiian.
Mexican at one point. They had a whole lot of those sort of exotic, dark personas they played to. And it just so happened that during that time, the circus being the biggest entertainment in the world, that they got noticed very quickly when they went out. They were a clean act. They were some of the best. They were devising all these things.
Tell us a little bit about Con Kalino. He's certainly a remarkable life. As you said, he's like a tightrope walking pioneer. Some of his fans included Charlie Chaplin, unfortunately Adolf Hitler, but he also was known for his Rudolph Valentino star appeal, and he was one of the highest paid people in the circus at the time. Tell us a little bit about this remarkable career.
Oh, gosh. It's such a long career. I mean, that's the amazing thing about them. They started when they were not quite teenagers and became superstars and didn't retire until the 1960s. So they had huge careers. Con as I said, was one of the only people that for a very long period of time could do the forward somersault on the wire. And the reason why that's quite remarkable is because you can't see the wire when you land. So it's all about feeling and using your feet. Well, he had a flair for entertainment. I think all of the family did. His sister, Little Winnie, she also did an act that had never been seen before on the trapeze where she caught with her back heels. One of the other sisters was a famous contortionist that did the bow and arrow with her feet to a target. They were just exceptional at their craft, and they trained something like 7 to 10 hours a day when they were learning. This is before the talkies came out. The circus was the number one show in the world, and Con was a pinboy, so much so that he would travel during the spring and summer of America and then go across to Europe and be an entertainer in Europe, where he famously met Adolf Hitler and Mussolini and other famous people. I mean, the whole family were around. Sort of, we call them the Forrest Gumpers of history in a way, because in that era of that sort of 1924 to around the 1950s, they were everywhere. They were big names.
What I also found interesting is, I mean, really, it's a story that illustrates how self-sufficient and entrepreneurial Indigenous Australians were, despite all the legal boundaries placed on them. Looking back on this family history, does this provide you with a sense of pride?
Oh, yeah. Look, I think that's one of the really big issues that we have to have conversations about, because identity that is contemporary, for some of our families, they're a part of the stolen generation, and so how do we bridge that gap? But then there's another group that were coming out of that 1850s massacre into the oppression of the 1900s, sort of like a hidden generation. People started to hide and evade. Mm-hmm. They knew what could happen. I think it was that knowing that our communities had a bit of foresight and owning that agency and having some of that back in. But also, we don't get to see footage of our mob from the 1920s being so joyful, dancing and celebrating, and because most of the stuff that we see has been a part of the footage of the anthropologists or those people that were documenting our communities around the mission times. Having a film like this where all you see is freedom in their faces is such a beautiful thing. And just to think that's where I hope our next generations have that freedom of their identity, to be able to celebrate and not look at themselves in a deficit.
Associate Professor Pauline Clegg, the director of The Kalyano Heart, speaking to Stephen Hill. The Kalyano Heart is available currently on SBS In Demand. And if you are in Sydney, it will be screening at the Art Gallery of New South Wales on Sunday at 2 p.m. with the director giving a Q&A after the film.